96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Summer is almost here, and the warm weather calls for swimming and water sports, but not everyone is ready to partake. As a matter of fact, a lot of people, particularly people of color, just don't know how to swim, and some of them are actually afraid of the water. Well, tonight we're talking about how you can address the fear and learn how to swim. It could save your life or someone else's. My guests are Agnes Davis, CEO of Swim, 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 I Say, and Delano Hunter, Chief Service Officer of Serve DC, the Mayor's Office on Volunteerism. Now, if you don't know how to swim and you want to learn, or if you fear the water and want to address that, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR, or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Agnes and Delano, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having us.
Agnes, let's start with you. Why is swimming such a challenge for people, particularly people of color, black people, brown people?
You know, I really think it comes down to it's not a popular sport. It's not a sport that the black community sees as changing their lives in the sense of like basketball, football, baseball. There's millions of dollars attached to it. But little do we know, those sports, yes, there are $1 million attached to it, but swimming actually gives us several things. It actually can help us as we are in youth with summer employment, scholarships to colleges, and also keeping us safe as a group of people, because we are more likely to drown than any other ethnic group out there.
Why is that?
I believe it's like threefold. Number one, I think one of the things is generational. If you have a parent that doesn't swim, you most likely will have a child that they call would be at risk. I am seeing some changes with that, but that statistic or that fact still holds true. Some of the other things I think all of us can relate to, somewhere down the line you heard a cousin or grandparent say, you know, Tom, don't go near that water because I can't help you. If you get too close, I can't jump in and help you because I don't swim.
Interesting.
And then the other thing comes about, it's just, I think it's sort of about a luxury, not a life-saving skill with our community.
Interesting. And, you know, Delano, it's interesting when you're talking about the issues of swimming. You for example, you don't swim, for example.
Correct.
And your parents didn't swim.
Yes.
But the thing that's really critical for you in your position is that whether you, even if you're not talking about swimming, it's still critical to have some life-saving skills in the event that you are around water. Tell me about what the district is trying to do.
Absolutely. We've been mandated by Mayor Muriel Bowser, Mayor of the District of Columbia, to prepare our residents in the event of an emergency. And one of those such offerings include CPR and AED training. It is actually CPR week, and also June is National Safety Month. So these are just two efforts, or this is just an initiative to actually prepare stakeholders, residents, those that live, work, and play within the District of Columbia to be trained in the event of an emergency. And we're proud to offer 13 trainings, free trainings for CPR and AED certification by the American Red Cross this month.
Now, what is AED?
Sure. AED stands for Automated External Defibrillator. These in conjunction, CPR and AED, they are done in tandem in the event that someone there is an emergency. This is training that actually saves lives. In fact, just this week, NBC4 did a story on an MPD officer who administered CPR to a gentleman that was unresponsive at his car. You know, this is training that does indeed save lives.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Agnes, a little bit about the importance, not just the ability to save your own life if you're in the water, but also to acquire some of the skills that Delano was just talking about.
Well, I'll tell you, Delano is very correct. You know, I also have a medical background, and actually even working in a hospital, we have to have CPR. And as you said, in tandem, the CPR and AED is extremely important in saving lives, without a doubt. And then when you just look as far as an instructor, we have to have CPR also, just as a precautionary. It's part of our training to be an instructor, to develop those skills, because things do happen around the pool, either with your student or with someone else. So by having that skill, that life-saving skill, that's exactly what you can do, is save a life.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about swimming, not just this summer, but swimming for life, learning the skill, not being afraid of the water, and also picking up some life-saving skills that just aren't important around the beach or the pool, but also lifelong skills, CPR and AED training. Let me go to the phone lines. Deborah, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Deborah. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was trying to be taught how to swim my freshman year at Howard University, and it is a phobia about being in the water, having your eyes burned from the chlorine, the water in your eye, in your ears. How do you get past that phobia just to get in the pool?
Well, Howard, let me answer.
Yeah, please do.
Exactly how. My company, Swim, 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 I say, we have a fear of water curriculum, and that's kind of a little bit what you do have. And it's all about taking baby steps. One of the most important things about teaching someone that does have a slight fear, you can't just have a syllabus in your head of what you want to accomplish with the student. You have to start where the student is. And sometimes that's taking it very slow. And what I mean by slow is, even putting someone's foot in the water, that's how bad some fears are, that even putting their foot in the water, it absolutely freaks them out. And you have to really take it slowly. And you have to teach them how. I work with adults and children, and we almost learn how to wash our face, because a lot of people with a fear do not like taking showers. They don't like getting water on their face.
You know, let me stop you there, Agnes, if I can. I was talking to one of my coworkers just today, mm-hmm. and she said that her issue, and we've heard the issue was about hair, particularly, uh-huh. you know, black women, but that wasn't her issue. She mm-hmm. said her issue was about water on your face. I find that fascinating.
You know, it's very fascinating. Because I've had cases of a young girl who loved the water, no problem. Somewhere a switch went off and she developed a fear. She didn't like the water anymore, didn't like water on her face. And I had to sit and retrain her to be comfortable with having water on her face. And how I did it was, we just sat and blew bubbles looking at each other. We learned how to wash our face, even putting water on it, closing our eyes, putting water over the head and blowing bubbles, that we haven't even put our face in the water yet. We're just putting water over the face. Hmm. And believe it or not, that's one of the first steps to getting them over their fear, is they start to realize, okay, I can still breathe. I can still, you know, be okay and not be so afraid, and the water is pouring over my face.
Before,
and believe me, it's an issue.
Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to talk to Delano again, because the city, the District of Columbia, is offering courses as it relates to CPR, AED. How can they find that information? And I also want to drill down a little bit more on the CPR piece, because not everybody has the AED apparatus in their pocket when they're walking around, but everyone can do the CPR piece. But how can they find out more about the free classes in the district?
Absolutely. Interested individuals can log on to serve.dc.gov. There is a banner for our CPR AED classes. And I just wanted to point out, we have 13 throughout all 8 wards of the District of Columbia. They're conveniently located at our parks and recreation locations. And we have 13 different dates. Most in the evenings. We do have some weekend classes as well.
How long does it take to go through the process?
Approximately 3 hours.
That's 3 hours?
3 hours.
Wow, that's it?
Okay.
Yeah, 3 hours. Yeah, just 3 hours. And I just want to add that that actually leads to a certification by the American Red Cross. And also there are additional resources being offered by the District of Columbia government. Our Fire and Emergency Medical Services, FEMS, they actually offer a hands-on heart program, which is a condensed version. It doesn't lead to the actual certification, but it emphasizes chest compressions without the artificial respiration. And they have trainings as well that individuals can partake if they aren't interested in the full certification. You can find out more information at fems.dc.gov.
We're going to talk a little bit more about those chest compressions and how you can perform CPR, just some of the things that you need to know. But I want to go back to the phone lines real quick, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about learning how to swim, fear of the water, and why some people aren't willing to do it. Let's go to Ron. Ron calling from Mitchellville. Thanks for calling, Mitchellville. Thanks for calling from Mitchellville. What's on your mind?
I just have a comment. Hello, panel. Hello, Harris. I just want to say that statistics may show that black, brown folks are higher as far as not learning how to swim. I don't see it as a race thing. I see it as a exposure thing. If you're not exposed to learning how to swim, you're not going to learn how to swim or may not want to. My parents both did not know how to swim, but they made it an issue that all three of their sons learned how to swim. My daughter knows how to swim. My granddaughter knows how to swim. It does, well, back when I grew up in D.C. in the 60s, it didn't cost anything. It may cost something now, but if you can send Johnny and Mary and Malcolm and them to a basketball camp, swimming is a fraction, I got to believe, of the cost for that. And not only is it fun to do, but it is, as the panel said, it's a life-saving thing to know how to swim. You never know when you be in that situation. So I just want to say it's an exposure. Just expose your kids to learning how to swim, even if you don't know how. They may be the one to save your life.
Well, right? Let me see if Agnes has a response to that. Go right ahead, Agnes.
I actually agree with Ron. And you know, it's very funny because Ron is not the exception to the rule anymore. I find I'm having a lot of clients come to me that they don't know how to swim, but they're making sure their children learn how to swim. They are breaking that generational cycle, and that's very, very important. And you know what? Ron is right, the exposure. I think it's because in the black community or the brown community, we're so used to seeing basketball players, or as you said, sending someone to baseball camp, football. No one equates swimming with any kind of value of money. And let me say this to you. In the New York City area, you can start working at the age of 15 as a lifeguard. You have to know how to swim, but you can be a lifeguard. But here's the thing. You tell me which one of your friends is going to make $13 and change at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends aren't. And imagine this. You start that job then, continue through high school, then you go on through college. You can get that job back every single summer.
Well, but here, and Ron, thank you so much for your input. Briefly, Agnes, I wanted to ask, where does the fear of water come from? And this is why I ask. I swim well, but I had two near-drowning experiences. That did not keep me from learning how to swim, but I would imagine that for some people that would have been a deal-breaker. Where does the fear of water come from?
That would have been a huge deal-breaker. And, I mean, I want to congratulate you because, believe me, I have a good friend because of a near-drowning death will not get in the water. And she knows I'm an excellent instructor. And I've been trying to do it for years. I think it comes from all of a sudden the fear of other people. You start talking about the water, not being able to go near it. Don't go there. You're going to drown. You already place a negative adjective towards being in the water. That creates a fear.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls about swimming, fear of water, life-saving tips, CPR, AED here in the district at 202 319-7810, 202-319-7810. What are your experiences with swimming, with water? Are you afraid? Do you want to learn? Well, we're here to help. Give us a call. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More on this issue, swimming and life-saving techniques in just a bit. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio.